close off this, not excited to close off the series, but she's excited to speak this morning. But coming up in the next couple of months, we've done the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to be moving into the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, so we're going to be moving into that territory. All right, we've got some great guest speakers lined up to come that operate in a lot of the gifts. So we're going to have opportunities of workshops straight after the service if you want to come along and partake in that. So we'll let you know more information later on. But that's something to excite you all, okay? Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Wayne's excited. But that's a real excitement because we've done Fruit of the Spirit. And the reason why we did Fruit of the Spirit before we moved into the gifts of the Spirit is so that we actually walk in the Spirit. We learn to walk. Who's enjoyed the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah, I'm so happy that you've all been so happy about doing the Fruit of the Spirit dance. And today is our last opportunity to really get down with that song. And if you're visiting today, I make no apologies. We are a happy, Spirit-filled church. Amen? Amen. So you know what to do, don't you? Come on. Stand up. And one last time. It's one last time. So give it your all. Give it your all. If you're sitting down, just, move around and wave your hands. And I'll hand over to Pastor Kyla. Okay, can we go, Simon?
Well done. Take a seat. Oh, nothing like a good warm-up in the morning, hey? I remember when I used to run the youth, we would always wake up with some fun aerobics, and Lockie Stewart, Nat's brother, would wake us up in the morning. He'd be dressed with all these like pink leotards and shorts and headbands, and we'd all have to get up and do our happy aerobics in the morning. So this is really nothing compared to what I used to endure in church. But anyway, today we are looking at the final fruit, the fruit of gentleness. And I thought I'd just start with a bit of a snapshot of what home looks like in the morning for the McDonald's. So we get woken up really early, usually by fighting kids, arguing about who's sitting too close to the heater, arguing about who hit who first, arguing about who spilt the milk. It wasn't me, it was them. What's for breakfast? And then this morning we were waking up at 4:30 in the morning by our dog who's crying because she's becoming maternal at the moment, and she's looking for her baby, but her baby was actually hidden. So all night she cried looking for her baby, and then this morning we finally gave her her little stuffed owl, which is her baby, and she carries it around crying over it. And then we get up, and then in the week we get into making lunches, and we're fighting over who's going to have the last piece of ham and who's going to have the last egg. And then, I hate my trousers. I'm not wearing trousers today. And, this is all before 7 o'clock, before I've had my coffee, and they talk about having gentleness. It's a bit of an oxymoron, really. Forget gentleness. And so when I first heard that I was speaking of that, I thought, oh no. And I began to think of all the times that I failed at being gentle. And so I've been trying really hard this week to be gentle. To me, gentle means quietly spoken. Gee, it's hard to see under these lights. Oh, that's better. Softly spoken, calm, graceful, calm under pressure. I think of Linda Manoni when I think of gentleness. Just the essence of gentleness. Yet at times I am blunt, impatient, and not afraid to give my opinion. And I can be gentle at times, particularly when I've had my coffee, but I don't think my personality type really sums up gentleness in a nice little package. And I think if we're honest, we all struggle, well, most of us, maybe not Linda, but we all struggle with this, particularly under pressure. Anyone struggle with gentleness under pressure? Or we don't aspire to gentleness because we think that's not really going to get us far in life. You know, if I want something, I want that promotion, I want to be heard, I want to stand up for justice, gentleness is maybe not the fruit that I would naturally pick. Yet in preparing this message, I realized I actually didn't really understand the fruit of gentleness. And I actually think today we miss the power of gentleness because we don't understand it. We don't understand what actually is God talking about when he speaks about the fruit of gentleness. And so today I want to speak about walking in the power of gentleness. So let's first look at what is gentleness. Well, firstly, what I found out is it isn't a personality type or a particular temperament. It doesn't actually mean being soft or quiet. And there is nothing wrong with a temperament like that. But if you have a different kind of personality, you're not off the hook. We're still called to walk in the fruit of gentleness. The word gentle actually comes from the Greek word parates, which is a tricky word to define, and some translation use meekness in its place. But neither word actually really define the word parates. It is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 5, verse 5, when he was talking about the Beatitudes, and he says, "Blessed are the meek," or "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." To the world, gentleness and meekness is often associated with weakness. In fact, when I looked at onelook.com, which is a dictionary site that looks at all these different types of dictionaries, this is what it said of gentle: soft, delicate, calm, kind, mild, docile, easily handled. And if you try to understand what Jesus was saying, you could walk away with thinking, blessed are the wimpy. What about meek? Meek is not much better. Soft, submissive, deficient in spirit and courage, not strong, quiet, spineless, and compliant. And you could think Jesus was saying, blessed are the weak. And this is actually how people thought in Jesus' day. So when Jesus is coming to them and saying, blessed are the gentle, the parates, for they will inherit the kingdom of God, he was challenging people's perception of what this word was. This was a world that didn't understand meekness. It was a world that actually thought that to inherit the earth, to gain the land that God had promised them, it would require force. It would require a power that lorded over people. This was a world that was ruled by Caesar, and it was these people they thought that would inherit the earth. That was why they were looking for a Messiah that would come with great power and force. But Jesus isn't preaching here to the rich and powerful. He's preaching to fishermen. He's preaching to villagers, and he's challenging their notion of who will inherit the earth. Who actually have power and have authority? It is those who are gentle and meek, those who are parates. They will inherit the earth. So what was Jesus meaning then? Well, if you actually look at the Greek word parates, it actually means it's not weakness, it's not timidity, but it is strength under control. Or you could say it's power under control. It was actually a word that was used to describe a wild stallion, a wild horse that needed to be tamed. That horse was wild, it was out of control, and it actually needed to be reined in and brought under control so that it became useful for the master. So when we learn true gentleness, it doesn't mean that we need to change our personality all of a sudden. It doesn't mean that we, as the world may describe us, timid or a pushover or weak. It isn't actually focusing on the outward behavior, but actually on the inner life of the person. That's why it talks about having a gentle spirit. The word meekness pictures a strong-willed person who has learned to submit his will to a higher authority. They aren't weak, but they are under obedience. In fact, they may possess a strong will and a powerful character, and they have their own opinion, but this person has learnt the secret to submitting to those who are over them, and thus they are known as one who knows how to bring their will under control. I want to give you two examples, two pictures of two people that actually really walked in gentleness. And the first one is Jesus. He was the essence of someone who walked in gentleness. In fact, he says of himself that he is gentle and humble in heart. We all know this well-known passage, Matthew 11, verse 28, and it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus was both gentle and humble, yet he definitely wasn't weak or mild. He was both the Lion of Judah, he was fiery and bold, yet he was the Lamb who was gentle. Now, he overthrew the money changers' table in the temple when they were buying and selling there, and he drove them out. He stood up for injustice. He spoke directly to people and their situations. But Jesus wasn't out of control, and I think that's the point there. He didn't lose it and lost the plot. It was power under control. He willingly submit himself under his Father. Everything he did and everything he said was actually directly related to the Father. He learned to walk, he walked in gentleness because he walked in full surrender to the Father and submission to the Father. And this is particularly seen in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says to the Lord, "Take this cup away from me." Sorry, he says to the Father, "Take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Or when he was on the cross and the people mocked him, saying, "Can't you save yourself? Call down all the angels to save you." But he was obedient even unto death, and he submitted to the will of the Father. He was bold. He was not afraid, but he walked in submission. Moses, he was another man who was meek. In fact, Numbers 12:3 says, "Now Moses was a very humble," or in other translations says, "meek man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." You know, Moses didn't start out like this. Moses didn't start out like this. I don't know if you first remember. Thank you. If you first remember Moses, when he came out of Egypt, he got so angry. Sorry. He got so angry at an Egyptian and he lost his temper. And he ended up killing the man out of anger. Oh, I've got a tickle. But here in Numbers 12, when it describes Moses as a humble man, this is when Aaron and Miriam mocked him. And they said to him, "You know, you shouldn't be marrying this Ethiopian." And they judged him. But in that place, he didn't retaliate, but he responded in gentleness and humility. And so he grew in this. He wasn't humble to start with. He wasn't meek to start with. But it was through the wilderness where he learned humility. And he actually learned that he couldn't operate in his own strength. And it was in the wilderness that God really stripped him of all his strength and all his power so that he could learn to operate in the strength and power of the Lord. And as long as we're operating in our own strength, we don't make room for God's strength. The Bible talks about how God increases the strength to him who has no strength. And when we come to the end of our own strength, we'll be like, Lord, I can't do this anymore. That's when God steps in. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And some of you may be feeling like, I don't know how to walk in the fruit of gentleness. Like, I don't have power under control. I don't have strength under control. In fact, I often lose control. But actually, it's not about doing it in our own strength. It's not about walking in our own power. It's actually about surrender. And we're going to get into that in a minute. So how do we walk in gentleness? I'm going to speak a little bit gently so I don't have to strain my voice. So you might have to turn me up. The first thing is it's a daily surrender to God. It's where we actually relinquish control over to the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul learnt this. And I want to look at this verse in Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. Now, this is quite amazing because this actually was the verse that came up in prayer meeting. They didn't have a clue that I was speaking from this today. And this was the picture that they had all of Ephesians 4. So maybe in your own time you could read the whole chapter. But for time's sake, we're just going to look at the first three verses. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, Paul urges us to walk in a manner worthy of our call. And how do we do this? How do we walk in a manner worthy of our call? He goes on to say, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And at the very, very start of this, he writes, I therefore a prisoner for the Lord. And I find this phrase really interesting because in the natural, he was a prisoner. But he talks about being a prisoner for the Lord. What does it mean to be a prisoner for the Lord? Because we're called to be free and we're called to walk in freedom. Yet Paul says that actually he's a prisoner for the Lord. In other words, he has laid down his own rights. He's laid down his own self to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He gave up his rights when he made Jesus Lord of his life. And so if you remember our definition of gentleness, it actually means strength under control or power under control. And so gentleness is produced as we surrender control and in obedience willfully come under the submission of Christ. Now, this is not a restricted burden because Jesus said his burden is light and his yoke is easy. And in our modern society, we don't like the word control. Now, I was listening to a song on the radio the other day and it was Bon Jovi and it's like, it's my life. And that really sums up how the world sees this life. It's my life. I will do what I want. No one can tell me what to do. Yet as Christians, you know, we are called to live in an upside-down world. And true freedom, true strength, true power actually comes when we lay down our rights and when we lay down our own strength and when we lay down our own wills and say, not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. And when we do that, the fruit of gentleness is displayed. It's actually not about trying to be gentle. It's actually about coming before the Lord with a fresh surrender and saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And then his gentleness is displayed through us. A fruitful life, as we've learned in this series, is when we live a life controlled by the Spirit. The fruit of one controlled by the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control and gentleness. But the one controlled by the flesh is what? Selfish ambition, fits of rage, division. So we have three modes that we kind of live in terms of control. We can either live out of control and we become explosive and we lose the plot like Moses did in the early days. Or we can try and live in control. We try and become very controlled with how we live, but it's all in our own strength, in our own power. And we kind of hold everything in and it becomes almost implosive. And eventually I end up falling apart because I'm exhausted by trying to live and hold everything in control. Or we live under control. And we live under the Spirit's control. And that is ironically where we find true freedom. And so I guess my encouragement to us today is, what are we doing with control? Are we living out of control? Are we living in control? Or actually have we surrendered control? And we're called to daily die. It's not I did that when I first became a Christian and I don't have to do it again because I already did that. Actually, every day I need to surrender afresh to him. So what does it mean to walk in gentleness? It means to surrender control. The second thing is it means to trust that God's in control. I love this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but I love that. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And then it goes on to talk about don't be anxious or worried about anything. One of the reasons I think we often fail to walk in gentleness and to see gentleness, which is power under control, is that we feel life is out of control. And therefore we feel anxious and stressed. And I know for me that when I am stressed and anxious, then my gentleness is not evident. But Jesus is saying, trust that I'm in control. Actually come before me and relinquish control, surrender control, but actually trust that I'm in control and I have this, I've got this. And I've heard that phrase over and over again in the last week, I've got this. And sometimes it doesn't feel like he's got it, but I feel like the Lord wants to assure you today that he's got it. And actually we can trust that he works all things together to those that love him and are called according to his name. That he actually does have that. And when we can surrender to God and his control, fully trusting him, we can therefore walk in peace and gentleness and love. The third thing is that, what does it mean to walk in gentleness? It means that I submit to others in my life through humility. If we go back to our text, Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Gentleness is actually an inner attitude or surrender to the Lord first. And then it is manifested in our actions, in submission towards other, where we prefer one another above ourselves. And this is so countercultural. Now, we are taught no one's going to look after yourself. Take care of yourself. Put yourself first. Get ahead first. But actually, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to live opposite to this. This is how Jesus lived. He was both gentle and humble in heart. And gentleness and humility always go together. You can't have one without the other. And it's manifested as I learn to willfully submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is what gentleness looks like in how we relate. Philippians 2:3-5. I think this is a beautiful summary of what gentleness actually looks like in action. It says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus." I think that's a beautiful summary of what it means to walk in gentleness and therefore humility. That as I surrender my life to God, it will then be manifested in submission to one another's. And I just want to give us a real practical look of what does gentleness look like. And I love those books, in those dummies books. And so I've called it Gentleness for Dummies, a cheat's guide to the power of gentleness in our lives. Because I think there is so much in the Word of God that speaks about gentleness. And the first thing that I really see the power of gentleness, because to walk in gentleness actually really is to walk in, to walk powerfully in the fruit of the Spirit. The first thing is it diffuses hostility. And we all know that gentleness diffuses hostility, whether that be arguments, whether that be anger, whether that be critics, it diffuses hostility. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Ecclesiastes 10:4 says, "If your boss is angry at you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes." I had to learn this a lot in my early days when I was working in catering and working at a coffee shop, and I wasn't very, I probably wasn't the greatest of waitresses. And I remember one time I was working up at the Rose Gardens, and I was carrying like a big tray of glasses out of the dishwasher, and I dropped the entire tray of glasses all over the floor. And my boss, she was angry. She was so angry. I think it was probably like my first week there. And you know, as I just responded in humility and in gentleness, even though it was a massive mistake and owned up, eventually her anger just died down. And actually, she was a horrible boss to work for. Many people just quit on that place. But I actually gained quite a lot of respect from her just as I continued to walk in humility and gentleness before her. And it's so true. You know, it was so easy for me to quit. I'm out of here. And we run away because we're ashamed. But actually, a quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. And it brings such favor. So we often mimic the emotions that come across to us. We mirror neurons in our brain, which actually gives us the ability to empathize with people. But likewise, when people come in angry, we can want to respond angry back. Or if people come with loud voices, we want to respond with loud voices back. But actually, just to diffuse the situation, if we come in opposite, like a soft voice, it actually calms down that real, you know, angry voice. But that takes strength. That actually takes strength under control to do that when you're really angry on the inside, to come in that quiet voice. I remember just even last week, my husband's a teacher and he can have complaints from parents, and he had one parent come in just raging and just so angry. How did you let my child get hit in the face that you did? And he just went at Dave. And Dave is a very gentle, he's learnt quite well this key of being gentle. And he just was able to be humble and gentle, and he calmed the guy down, and he was able to work alongside and work out the situation. But, you know, when attacks come at us, how do we respond? And when we actually learn to surrender our control to Christ and to submit to one another, considering them better than ourselves, it actually then begins to be manifested on how we behave. You know, and we get it wrong. I don't know how many times I've got it wrong. And we come before the Lord, who is gentle, and we say, Lord, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. I messed up. And I love the thing, he's so gentle, the Holy Spirit. And so he just gently, you know, corrects us, and then we try again with his help. The second thing that gentleness does is it deals with correction restoratively. Not many of us like to confront someone. We don't like to correct. We don't like to pull people up. But a little key, if you don't like to do that, try doing it with such gentleness that people don't even know you're correcting them. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, that is you, not your leaders, it's all of us, should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. And so we don't come in for the kill, we don't come in for the attack, but we come alongside them gently. But it doesn't mean gentleness avoids correction. It doesn't mean gentleness avoids the hard chat, the hard chat that we sometimes have to speak the truth in love. But it guides us in how we are to have that chat. The third thing is it displays Christ. It's an effective witness. 1 Peter 3:15 to 16 says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. See, we won't be respected or heard if we are pushy, trying to win an argument. And you see this over social media. But we're actually not called to win arguments. We're called to be a witness. And people listen, I've found, when we're gentle and humble, willing to listen to them also. Rick Warren says, if you are abrasive, you will never be persuasive. And that's so true. If we're abrasive, we're never going to be persuasive, because people listen when we're gentle. Likewise, when we live with the fruit of gentleness, strength under control, particularly when it's stressful, we become a powerful witness to those watching us, to unbelievers who are watching how we operate. And the final thing, the power of gentleness in our lives, it demonstrates love. And if we go back to our text of Ephesians 4, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. See, this is how we are called to operate in the church. This is how we are called to operate in the family of God, but also our own families, our workplaces, our friends, strangers. When we walk in humility, preferring one another above ourselves, we demonstrate the love and the gentleness of Christ. And so I guess my encouragement to us today, and if I can have the music team back, is, are we walking in gentleness, strength under control, where we are preferring one another above ourselves, not looking only for our own interests, but this week, how can we choose to prefer someone else above ourselves this week? How can we choose to respond in a gentle answer when someone is angry at us this week? And I think some of us are going to get tested in this week. How are we going to respond? And it's not in our own doing, because as we lay down our lives and say, not my will but yours be done, his power and strength is operating in and through our lives. And so over the last few months, we've been doing Fresh Off the Vine. And I hope you've enjoyed it, this series about what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. And I hope that you've realized that the fruit of the Spirit is exactly that. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's not actually fruits of your own self or fruits of your own personality or fruits of your own hard work and merit. It's actually fruit of the Spirit that isn't produced through trying harder. They actually produce through the Spirit. And this is only possible as we are, first we come to Jesus and we make him Lord of our lives. And we are filled by the Spirit. And then we willfully come under the control of the Spirit, which is a fresh surrender each day. And when we do that, then that is always manifested in how we relate to one another. You know, if we go out in the world isn't often loving in the true sense of the word love, unconditional. The world isn't often joyful. It's happy, but that's based on circumstances. It often isn't peaceful or patient. It can be, but I think it often depends on the situation. But we are called to live a different way. And my hope is that as we abide in the vine, that we will produce much fruit. That it's not about condemnation, but it's about coming to him, the Father, and saying, Lord, would you work in me? Would you pick off the bits in me that are unfruitful, that I might be fruitful for you and bring glory to your name? And so I just want to give us an opportunity. I spoke earlier about how we can operate almost in three modes. We can operate out of control. We can operate in control. Or we can actually come under the control of the Spirit. And I just want to give you an opportunity today. If you just need to make a fresh surrender to him, that you would do that as we sing this last song. He's going to sing, I Surrender. And, you know, whatever it is, whatever we're holding on to, whatever we're worried about, maybe you haven't done well in gentleness and you just need to surrender that over to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I give you afresh my brokenness and my weakness. And I ask, Father, that you would be strong, that you would be made powerful through my weakness. I just want to pray for you right now, Lord. If that's anyone, just fresh surrender. Father, we come to you humbly. We come to you, Jesus, for you are gentle and humble in heart. Lord, and you are gentle towards us. And I thank you for the gentleness of Jesus right here, of the Spirit right here. Lord, that you don't condemn us, but you minister to us, correct us gently and lovingly. Lord, we come to you at times angry, but you answer us in a gentle answer. all those things I mentioned, that's what you do to us. You show us a better way. And sometimes when we haven't had fathers that have been gentle, Lord, we don't really understand gentleness. But Heavenly Father, you are gentle, you are kind. Show us your gentleness today. And teach us how to walk in the fruit of gentleness. Lord, as we surrender afresh. In Jesus' name, we pray. Why don't you stand? We're just going to sing one more song. If you'd like prayer for anything today, you're welcome to come down the front. We've got prayers. But why don't you just use this opportunity just to spend time with Him. Fresh surrender.